Hi, and welcome to the Cooking in Real Time podcast. My name is Zora O'Neill, and today, instead of cooking dinner, I'm going to act as the great recipe decoder. I know that when it comes to cooking, there's a lot of specialized lingo, and there's also a lot of strange ways of using words. Words you think you know the meaning of, and then you read them in a recipe, and suddenly you're not quite sure what they could possibly be talking about. So today I'm going to pick a few of those words and just explain, hopefully clarify a little bit so the next time you read them in a recipe, you'll know exactly what is expected of you. I'm picking three terms that are kind of interconnected, and those terms are browning, sauteing, and caramelizing. These are all sort of words for the same thing, but each one has a little bit of a nuance. And unfortunately, people who write recipes are not always consistent about the meanings of these words. So you have to be able to look beyond the word itself and see, try to get an idea of what the recipe is taking you toward, and then judge from there exactly how you should be treating your ingredients. I'll talk about sautéing first because it's French and it has a certain mystique. It's the quintessential fancy cooking word. Sauté comes from the French word for jump. So literally, it means you're making your ingredients jump in the pan, and it's that move you see fancy restaurant chefs doing where they're holding the skillet and jerking it really quickly and everything in the pan jumps up and flips over. It's a very impressive maneuver. But in a regular home situation, you don't need to feel the pressure to show off like that. You can just use a spoon and stir things around. Although if you want to learn this skill, it is kind of fun and it is a good trick to learn, but it is not essential. More important though, at home, you don't actually want to move things around in your pan a lot. Home stoves don't put out nearly as much heat as restaurant stoves do, so the sauteing method where you're making your things jump in the pan so they're not constantly against the super hot surface of the pan, moving them around so they don't burn, that's a technique that really has been perfected in restaurants where the stoves are super powerful. But at home, your pan just doesn't get as hot, so your ingredients don't have to jump around in the pan so much to avoid the really hot flame. And this sort of leads into the next term, browning. So let's leave sautéing aside and we'll sort of come back to that and see how it connects. Moving on to browning, recipes often to say to brown your meat, and occasionally brown vegetables, but mostly browning meat. I think one of the main questions people wonder is how brown is brown? And then, to confuse matters, some recipes will say sauté until brown. So it's here that you should take instructions with a grain of salt. The problem is, if your ingredients are jumping all over the pan, if you're actually sautéing them, they will take forever to get brown because you're not giving them enough time to rest against the surface of the pan and actually pick up some color. So browning really calls for letting whatever it is, your meat or your vegetable, sit there in the pan for a bit, really soaking up the heat. The meat will then develop a really nice brown crust, and this is exactly what you're going for, because that brown part adds a really nice flavor to whatever you're cooking, adds a depth and a richness. And if you just stood there and stirred the meat, sautéed it, technically, it would never get time to build up the crust. Conveniently for you at home, you can have the heat on fairly high. Like I said, your home stove is not all that powerful, so you could have the heat on medium-high, almost up to high, and your meat is still actually not going to burn. In fact, it's going to take a fair amount of time to brown properly. I often see novice cooks or people who aren't all that comfortable in the kitchen, they often don't give the browning process quite enough time. They'll see just a hint of light tan on their chicken and they call it done because they're worried about it burning. But actually, it can get a lot darker. Think like Heath Bar toffee brown. And it can take a good 10 minutes to get there, and you want to be able to have the patience to just leave the meat in the pan on one side, not touch it, and let it do its thing and brown. So it's not a high maintenance move, browning. You just put it in the pan and let it stay there and don't bother it. Even more conveniently, when you're browning meat, you don't really need to worry about it sticking to the pan as long as you have a little oil in there to start with. The first time you go to check the meat to see whether the underside is browning yet, you might panic because you'll stick your spoon under there and go, oh no, the meat is all stuck to the pan. You'll think it's a total disaster. Actually, that's totally normal and it fixes itself. As the meat browns, the crust forms and it just naturally detaches itself from the pan. In fact, you know when the meat has gotten into the window of properly browned when it detaches easily from the pan. So that's browning, and usually used in reference to meat, although sometimes you'll see it for vegetables. So then there's caramelizing, And this is essentially the very same thing as browning. Caramel is brown, so easy to remember. And also think about what caramel is. It's basically just plain white sugar that is cooked over very low heat until it starts to melt and turn brown. The result is a much richer flavor than just plain white sugar, and that's what you're trying to bring out whenever you caramelize anything, not just sugar, but vegetables. Most often you'll see the term caramelization applied to vegetables. Caramelizing is browning. It just sounds a little fancier and a little more technical, but in most recipes, you'll see caramelizing used in reference to vegetables. And just to confuse you, there are some cases in which you want to caramelize things on relatively low heat because you don't want them to build up a real crust. So this is where caramelizing sort of parts ways with standard browning as you think about it in reference to meats. So you're rarely going to see a recipe that says caramelize the meat. I think enough cookbook authors know that that is a confusing term. So you won't see caramelize the meat, but you will see caramelize the onions, caramelize the squash, things like that. In the case of the onions, which are loaded with natural sugars, you're going to want to cook them relatively slowly. You can start on high heat just to kickstart the process, but overall, you need to let the onions cook slowly so that their moisture can cook away, kind of steam away and evaporate, which is another part of the caramelizing process. It sort of moves things along, and eventually all that will cook away and they'll get a nice even caramely brown all the way through. They won't have any actual crusty brown spots on them, or if you do them right. If you do them in a hurry, like I often do, like in the previous episode of the podcast, they end up a little spotty. That's all right. In the case of, for instance, butternut squash, though, compared with onions, you'll never be able to get the squash nice and brown all the way through, the way you do with onions. For squash, you just want to, well, brown the outside. So this is where caramelization and browning come back together. When it says caramelized squash, you can do this on, again, on pretty high heat, medium-high. Sugars on the outside surface of the squash will start to cook and brown, and you'll wind up with squash that's richer and sweeter overall. So, hopefully I haven't totally confused you. Browning, sautéing, caramelizing, all kind of the same process, all interrelated. There's a little bit of nuance to each one. In summary, when it says sauté, don't go crazy and stir and actually make things jump around a lot. You actually want your ingredients to be lazy and lie there in the pan, unless you have a super high-powered stove. So when it says sauté, actually relax, keep the heat up pretty high, but let the stuff sit in the pan and take on a little color. The same thing goes for browning. If it says to brown your meat, definitely let the meat sit there, take on color. When a recipe says to caramelize, however, how you treat the ingredient depends a lot on what it is. If it's something moist, like onions, treat them delicately, let them sit in a pan on low heat. If it's something sturdier, like squash, we were talking about, well, just brown them. Turn the heat up, let them get some brown spots. Anyway, crystal clear, maybe not, but read a few recipes with this information in mind, and it should help a little bit. So that wraps up this episode of the Recipe Decoder. Definitely let me know if you have other questions, and if there are any terms that you would like to hear defined, drop me an email at zora@cookinginrealtime.com. Thanks for listening, and until next week, happy eating!